This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
All this week, we have a five-part series, a conversation with Adam Cox and Rex Connor. Adam is the brother to Lori Vallow Daybell. Rex is Lori Vallow Daybell's uncle, and they certainly have stories to share about their life and times with Lori Vallow Daybell leading up to the murders of her children and her ex-husband and the many other suspicious deaths that have surrounded her life. And there was another, your other sister as well, Stacy, who had passed away back in 1998. What was that relationship like while she was around?
Oh, Stacy was the best. Oh my gosh. I miss her so much. Straight A student, did everything right. Almost like in my mind, if I was to describe somebody perfect, it would be her. Mm-hmm. We had a great relationship. Just a genuine, really good person. And yeah, I miss her a lot.
What was Lori's relationship like with her?
Really good too. Yeah. Lori ended up living with her in Texas together for a little bit. And Lori looked up to her a lot, I think.
What was going on at the time of her death? Were they living together at that time, or had they kind of gone and under their own paths of life at that point? Or
I think so. Stacy was living with my mom and dad. I think Lori was living in Austin, mm-hmm. and she was like cutting hair or whatever. So, but I think they still had a really good relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something, obviously, it's a weird one, but a tough one, but I think there's been speculation about it, and I'd rather just have you lay out your thoughts. I'm sure you know what I'm going to ask. Is there anything, looking back on what you know now about Lori, is there any suspicions or anything like that about the death of your sister, Stacy, connected with Lori, or was this just something, just, you know, sadly, a lot of death that surrounded you guys?
Yeah, that was a tragedy. Stacy got, she was sick. Like, she has type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
And she got a disease where the food that she was eating didn't digest. Mm-hmm. So when you're diabetic and you have to have blood sugar and stuff, she had issues and she got down to like 70 pounds.
Okay.
I know that she took too much insulin maybe and then ended up getting into a diabetic coma. So okay. I wasn't there when she died, so I can't answer that. The only thing I do know is that I know that she was really, really sick. And I know, I feel like last time I saw her, she was on her last legs, as far as the doctors in Loma Linda University were saying there's really nothing they can do. Yeah. And so that was just, it was like a real struggle for me to watch her suffer like that.
I would imagine. So Rex, I mean, what's your thoughts on all of that?
Stacy came and lived with me and my family up until about 2 months before that, or a couple months before that. I can't remember the exact period of time. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to get away into a different environment for a while and see if that made a difference in what was going on with her, all the, you know, emotional strain she had to combine with her illness. You know, would make jokes with her about, she'd offer to pay for something and do something extra because you're staying there. I said, why? You're no expense here. You eat absolutely zero food. And so there's no real burden here. And we all love Stacy. We were all close. So it was a tragedy, but I'll say Stacy was in conversation, looking forward to dying. I think she realized her days were numbered just with all the health things going on. And she even made the statement, you know, I feel like I can help Melanie more from the other side of the veil. She and I and others in the family believe in a life after this life. Said, yeah. I think I'll be able to help her more because I can't help her now. And that was part of what was weighing on her, et cetera. So a death is tragic.
Yeah.
And losing someone, you know, early in life is tragic, but I don't think she would have looked on her death as a tragedy. I think personally, I think from the conversations I had with her just a few months before her death, she was looking forward to that. So circumstances around her death, like Adam, I was not there. I've heard things, I've learned things recently about circumstances around that, but mm-hmm. I don't know anything about them, not having been there and not having heard about those circumstances before.
Sure. Obviously, when something like this happens, it's a trauma to everybody. How do you think the trauma of losing a sister, in such a hard way where you watch them, slowly go, it's not a quick, oh my gosh, you literally watch them die and you slowly wrap your mind around that. How did that sort of trauma affect Lori, do you think, around that time?
I don't know. I know how it affected me. Yeah. I was devastated, but I'm sure Lori was devastated as well. My mom devastated as well. So those are the three people that I know, and Summer also were devastated. I don't know about Alex, but I'm sure that he had his feelings too. But mm-hmm. I'm sure just devastation.
Let's talk about Alex a little bit. Obviously, we know towards the end of his life that her and Alex were pretty tight, it seems like. Were they always like that growing up as well?
No.
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 I guess that's surprising to hear. How did that change? How did the dynamic of not being tight to seemingly very tight evolve?
I think there was a shift when Lori was saying that her husband at the time, Joe, molested her kids, Colby and Tylee, mm-hmm. and she was looking for revenge on Joe. And Alex was willing to listen to what she had to say about getting revenge on Joe and wanted to step up and help her. I don't know why that shift happened, but once Alex said, oh, yeah, I'll do whatever you want me to do or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like, cause the rest of us, when she was like, well, somebody's got to do something. And, we're like, well, the police can handle it, Lori. And, Alex is like, oh, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. Like, I don't know where that came from or why that dedication to Lori happened from him. But as soon as that did happen, I feel like Lori felt like she had somebody that, she could call on.
Interesting that suddenly came up, because I think a lot of people assume that, oh, they must have always been tight and all that. But
no.
And it's understandable if someone is believing and making accusations that someone, a father, is molesting their children. And if you're the brother, I get it. You want to stand up and, you probably want to beat the hell out of the person or kill right. the person that is right. doing something like that to your own children. But let's talk about Joe a little bit, the allegations of sexual abuse. I know that some of it came up in a therapy session with Tylee. I know, from what I understand how that worked, Lori kind of stepped in pretty quick. And when you look at it, from a 1,000-foot overview, it looks a little suspicious. Almost coaching is the way I would look at it, but I don't know. I'm just speaking from what we know about Lori. What's your take on these accusations? From what I understand, Colby still stands behind them from what I saw in the Netflix documentary. But what are your guys' feelings about these accusations that were against Joe? Is this something that you believe was happening, or is this something where Lori was manipulating maybe, brainwashing, for lack of a better term, or kids?
I think at the time when all this was going down, Lori was very convincing to everybody that this was happening. And so I took that as, yes, that's what happened to them. And she was devastated and her whole story. But now that all this has come out, as far as Lori's change, I'm wondering if any of that was true. Yeah. Like, I don't know now if any of that was true, but, and I don't think I'll ever know.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And Rex, you have a take on that too, I think.
I do. I was gaslighted like everyone else. I jumped on board with Lori, even though I really liked Joe and stayed with him a few times, got to know him a little, really liked him. But I jumped on board when Lori came out with, hey, Joe was abusing the children, that's why we're separating, etc. I was go Lori, you know, do what you need to do, you know, legally and otherwise. I don't think I questioned it until Tylee started, when she had visits, she would go. I won't say willingly. I wasn't there when Tylee would leave, but she wouldn't, Tylee wouldn't put up a fight. Tylee wouldn't say that Joe abused her, that she remembered abuse. And I thought, this is really curious. And the courts allowed that, is what I thought was real curious. Mm-hmm. So I went back and read the actual psychologist reports to the court about Joe, and it opened my mind to say, you know what, this may not be like I've heard.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I've wondered. Now, I don't have any other insight other than hearing that at least somewhat of the two sides, but that made me curious. And then when Lori started talking about Charles very similarly, mm-hmm. I said, okay, pattern.
Yeah.
You know, here's something that's being repeated that's very similar. So it caused me to open my mind. And of course, now looking back, we can question everything.
There's more to come in my conversation with Adam Cox and Rex Connor about the life of Lori Vallow Daybell and the tragic twists that it takes leading up to the death of her children and many others around her. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our conversation right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.